And this week, brought to you by the power of flange. This is the LoadingReadyRun.com podcast for October 29th, 2007.
Flange is a funny word.
Did you just say October 29th?
It's the 23rd, dude.
It's the 23rd.
Nope.
No, it's 24th.
You all lose.
A 9 kind of looks like a 4 on paper.
Yeah, it's true, I guess.
You know what's funny? Is that's exactly the mistake I made in my head. I was visualizing a calendar, and I went, today's the 22nd, tomorrow's the 23rd, Wednesday's the 24th, and I saw the 4, and I thought it was a 9.
So you visualized it wrong.
Yeah.
You have bad handwriting in your own mind.
I do.
In your mind.
Wow. All right. Well, fair enough.
Why is the podcast red this week? Isn't it normally blue?
No, that's new GarageBand records in red.
Oh.
And then it turns purple when you stop.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once it sort of cools, because right now it's flaming hot.
For those of you without the visual reference, GarageBand, the track is recording in red.
This description is making a whole lot of sense to everybody who's listening to this without any kind of visual.
Well, come on, surely they have a computer that can display color podcasts.
If they just squint with their ears, I'm sure they can
hear.
Yeah,
exactly.
So this week's video was The Ballad of the Fanboy, and Jer, I think, will take us back several years.
Well, let's go back to 2003.
Let's not go back to 2003.
are we all going to have to wear afros?
So 2003, simpler, wild, heady days when we started this website, actually.
In fact, Graham was talking to me one time, and he was like, so we're starting this website. And we're going to be putting videos on
there. We're going to become .com millionaires, man.
We're going to be putting videos on there, and they're going to be funny videos. And, you know, there's some stuff that you've done that could go on there, like Vietnam, and that song you wrote a few years ago. So now we're going to cut back to a couple of years before that.
Oh, nobody knows what Vietnam is, probably.
Yeah, oh, right, it was a season one video, but it was this...
It's awesome.
Anyone who bought the DVDs would know.
Yeah, we're talking Vietnam, the video. Jer was not actually responsible for Vietnam, the war.
I'm making my case.
Yeah. I still think that the Vietnam special features is one of the best things we've ever done.
It's not as funny watching it again, actually.
Really? It's too bad. It still has
also, we all have terrible hair, and the background noise is atrocious.
Well, as with much of the stuff done around the season one era.
So we're
now in 2002, I think.
Okay, the year I graduated high school.
Yes.
And awesome.
In 2002, there was a weekend where one of my friends, who shall remain nameless, who was living in her parents' house... had said parents go away and invited a bunch of friends, including myself, Adam, Bill, and several other people, to just basically stay there for the entire weekend and play video games. So that's what happened. Now, this female friend of mine had just recently been dumped, I believe, by a male friend of mine, I had feelings about it, but anyway... So that had happened, but since then he had decided that he wanted her back. So this person who shall remain nameless was a little bit upset at the time. But I was being a bit of a dick about it. So I wrote this song.
Let me just interject and say,
whoever
this person is, I just have this feeling that they're like absolutely massively... overwhelmingly retarded.
So anyway, I wrote this song for this person who shall remain nameless, but because I felt the need to severely punish the person who shall remain nameless for a poor decision that had been made, I made it basically with this giant video game fanboy trying futilely to get his girlfriend back using all video game lingo. And the song was, it was called the song. And
or the Ballad of the Nintendo Fanboy.
Which Graham later actually renamed it.
Yeah.
I still remember some bits of it. The basic gist of it, the chorus anyway, was, I really love you, don't you see? Do, 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 do. When you're around, you make me free.
Do, 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 do.
At my place, romance it will be.
Do, 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 do.
I'll be your final fantasy. Do, 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 do. My drive to love is factory sealed. and 100% real. If you'll just say you love me now, then we'll collect and breed like chows.
Which is no longer a reference people would get.
Right. Chows? So, chows. They're in Sonic Adventure, you collect, or Sonic Adventure 2, you collected these little chow creatures, and you could basically feed them things and breed them and
erase them and stuff.
There's references in the song as it is now that won't last. Like, I don't imagine Crackdown being around.
Right.
In sort of like in the annals of
exactly.
video games for a while. But, you know.
Anyway, the idea was that it was... with stealth and precision, I'll get you with my op. With only one shot.
Counter-Strike's still selling pretty well, actually.
Yeah, I'll let you take control. I'll be a sweet shy shinobu to your Keitaro.
Which you always sang very, very quickly, and I could never understand what you were talking about.
I'll be a sweet shy shinobu to your Keitaro from Love Hina.
Ah.
That was an anime reference. But anyway, so... long story short, that was around, and I tried a few times to put it to music, but I could never come up with chords that really worked. And then I stopped playing guitar for a long period of time, and it just sort of fell by the wayside.
Despite repeated comments maybe every 8 months to a year of like, hey, remember that song? We should really do that.
And that would get thrown around, and I'd be like, oh yeah, one day... So I guess a couple of weeks ago, I came back from a show. I went to the Weaker Than show with my sister, and I picked up my guitar again and started playing around with it. And Graham had recently mentioned that the song would make a good season opener, and I'd been sort of like thinking, nah, there's no time. But by the end of the evening, I had chords figured out for it. And so then by the next meeting, I was able to actually give these guys a demo of kind of what it would sound like.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of went from there.
You know, going back...
Closer or speak up.
Going back to hearing the beginning of this story from the early 2000s, I totally forgot about that, and it just makes me want to find this person and punch them in the mouth. And it's a really good thing that I don't know who this person is.
Now, the video for it was actually shot on over four different nights.
There are visual cues and people might be missing at this point.
Yeah, I guess you mentioned like this version of the song. So the version of the song that Jer came to us with and sort of had this was quite a bit different from this thing that we were talking about, the Nintendo fanboy.
Well, the original song back in the early 2000s. Yeah, I mean, there were a bunch of decisions, I guess, that were made. I decided basically that I wanted the song to slow down significantly.
Which is good because you could barely understand it before.
Right. And
to read the lyrics, it was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
It was... The other one was quite mean and in many ways very, very sexualized. So I decided...
Because this new one isn't.
Well, yeah. I decided to tone down the former and increase the emphasis on the latter.
Yeah.
So
basically... As Tenzin said, and he was one of the few who mentioned it on the forums, that's sort of the whole joke about the video is that there's all these really like overtly sexual innuendo references. And at the end... you realize that he actually meant
right.
it in all seriousness.
Now, so that was also a thing that evolved from the original version. Most of the lyrics from the original appear in this version in modified form somehow. The bridge from the original version, which wasn't really what you would, in modern terms, or not modern terms, but under my current understanding of music defined as a bridge, was... and then you'll come over and we'll play Nintendo, and 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 then after that, we'll play Nintendo. But, so I wanted to get that in, and then it suddenly struck me that, wait a minute, no, at the end of the video, the whole point is that he hasn't been talking about sex at all, he's actually been talking about playing video games. So that was the punchline.
Which was the build-up. And I realized it didn't, like, there were some comments that it didn't feel like it had gone anywhere. And I guess it just, like, it wasn't as punchy of a final thing.
Yeah.
But that sort of was the end result. That, you know, that he does actually manage to win her back with this song or whatever. And that he really just wants to play Nintendo.
So I guess the version of the song that I came to you guys with at the meeting... was the same as the one that we finally used. But there were the different, or I guess while I was performing it for you guys at the meeting, I stopped periodically because everyone was cracking up laughing.
Yeah.
And then started again, and then stopped and started again. So it was a little bit disjointed.
Yeah.
So we decided to shoot this video over a Friday night and a Saturday.
Yeah, initially. That was the original plan.
And
what it was going to be was, it was going to be the shots of Jer in the dark room as the singer. And because he has this wicked video game collection, Matt was going to be like the guy, like the nerdy fanboy guy singing to this girl. There were a couple things with that. There were a couple issues with that. One, we weren't having Matt lip sync Jer's things. It was just going to be like Jer was like Matt's sort of inner monologue kind of, or Matt was Jer's inner representation of a fanboy or something. What it ended up sort of coming across as was either this weirdly disjointed, I don't really understand why Jer is singing and Matt is this guy, or it looked like Jer was singing to Matt, which was not quite what we were going for. So we shot all this stuff in Matt's basement with Matt, and stuff on Friday.
Stuff at a nameless video game chain.
Sorry,
we're really terrible at that.
Man. We can go through this podcast with one of those sound effects.
Nameless video game chain.
Whenever we say that guy's name by accident, we can beep it out. Exactly. And whenever we like say it. That video game chain.
I like it. Yeah. We did that. But the thing is, it had been a while since Paul and I, like the only time that Paul and I had heard the song was when Jared did it at the thing. We sort of had a different idea in our head.
Now, and you had specifically asked me for a demo of it, which I had actually recorded and sent to you, but I guess you guys didn't listen to it until the very end of shooting.
We did listen to it. Like, we listened to it, like, twice, and then we're like, okay, sounds good, and then we went out and shot. And then we listened to it again later that night and realized that we hadn't really paid attention to the tone of the song, which is it's what we were shooting was Matt walking around being very forlorn and sad that he was missing this girl, and you know, how was he ever going to win her back or something. The song actually sounded a lot more hopeful, is what Paul realized, and the forlorn, depressing, it didn't really work.
Yeah, it's for me actually. It wasn't until like I'd heard sort of the versions that Jer did, but you know, they're all sort of recorded just by Jer sort of doing on his laptop and seeing him playing the guitar at the same time. And you know, it was sort of, and it didn't really like when they were actually recording the real thing, when Jer and
Alan Smithy, who's a very good friend of ours and is awesome at guitar. Jer,
clarify that just so that people were asking about it on the forums. I wrote the song on a guitar, and can play it and sing at the same time with some degree of skill. But when it comes to playing and singing at the same time, and the fact that I haven't really played guitar in 6 months and hadn't really done a lot of it previous to that, it gets very difficult for me to hit those bar chords, especially B, consistently without turning my fingers into blistery messes. So we called in help.
Yeah, and it was great that Alan Smithy was able to.
He's going under a pseudonym because it's not really the sort of music that he does, and he does take his music very seriously. So we're just happy that he was willing to help out. So.
Yeah. So anyway, they were in there in the recording studio, actually putting down the track for this, and so I was just sitting there in the room and just trying to think about, you know, what kind of feeling this music invoked, and I was realizing that it wasn't such a sad, you know, thing, a guy sort of walking around forlornly, seeing how, like, it was sort of, the original concept was like that he's like trying to play video games and realizing that no video games don't really hold the same appeal.
They don't excite
stuff.
Him anymore.
Yeah.
Without you.
But with the song is really, you know, it's actually quite hopeful. You know, I mean, the lyrics are sort of talking about how I miss you and everything, but it actually is sort of a kind of an upbeat song. And
the last line really just does change it, because originally, like, the original song was supposed to be absolutely futile.
Right, it was supposed to be just sort of a pathetic thing.
Yes.
Right. We changed it so that we had this idea and we actually ended up reshooting a whole chunk of it.
Yeah, so we figured
which we almost never do.
Yeah.
Well,
we figured if we're gonna reshoot, then we may as well use Jer, because then that whole weirdness
that non sequitur thing goes away.
So originally, actually, Matt's girlfriend was played by Hillary, who has actually shown up in a video before. She's a friend of ours. She is kissing the Master Chief helmet in the Halo video.
Uh-huh.
It's a picture of one of the legendary editions.
Right.
She's kissing it. So,
which she then used as her Facebook image.
Yes. So is just because she was around, actually, is the reason she ended up being in it. But so when we reshot, Jer, this is actually an amusing conversation. Jer phoned me and was like, "Hey, do we have a girl? Because Tally has said that she's free tonight and she can do it if we're very quick." And my response was, "Oh, I actually assumed you would be providing the girlfriend, so please pass that on to Tally."
Also, bring her over. How often do you hear her say those words?
Good times.
Okay.
So Tally continues her tradition of being a very large part of videos where she has no talking.
And abusive boyfriend. Someday she will
have a speaking role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, deadbeat boyfriend.
Yeah, and a decent boyfriend.
She's broken up with more guys.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
To Paul's great credit, he sat in a recording studio as I recorded vocals over and over and over again for like 3 hours.
Yeah. It did take a long time to get all the things recorded. And then like we'd booked the rooms off for a certain amount of time to get out of there by 11 when they ostensibly close. And we ended up, I think, starting the shots of Jer in the dark room at 11 or very close to it.
10:45 or something.
Yeah.
It was quarter two, I think. But it was pretty late. That was a crazy weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And
got some neat shots, though.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And so then, so we did that on the Saturdays when we shot those bits. Then we reshot the bits with Jer in Matt's basement on the Monday.
Yeah.
And then I strung it together and realized that it wasn't entirely apparent in places what was going on. That there wasn't, like, the shots of the place being really dirty and Jer cleaning it up, and the shots of, like, him afterwards being like, "Yeah, all right, I've cleaned up," weren't there at all. And the one of him being like, "All right, I'm going to clean," didn't quite work as well. And so I was like, "I don't want to do this. Believe me, I don't want to do this, but I really think we should get a few more shots."
Yeah.
And Matt was kind enough to not have anything better to do that evening.
Nothing better to do than to sit around and let you guys film and play Castlevania out of the way.
Yeah, but I mean, literally, the reshoots,
it was pretty quick.
I had stuff to do, so there was stuff going on, and it was basically 15 minutes.
Yeah. We also added that part that I thought of having Jer try and mimic the pinata,
which
dances,
was awesome.
Which I'm really glad that I did, because that's a pretty funny shot. Yeah.
Originally, it was just me watching the pinatas mate.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten to bring my hard drive over, so we actually had to play through Viva Pinata to that point.
Which isn't very long, but still. So, Matt talked extensively about his video game collection last week, but you see it here on display, almost, fantastic.
That is a lot of Final Fantasy.
That's a lot. What that is the first shot is Final Fantasy VII. The second shot is all numbered Final Fantasy games.
All Roman numerals, yeah.
And the third one is every Final Fantasy game Matt has, which is a lot.
Which is one copy of every numbered Final Fantasy game to date, plus all the spin-offs, with the exception of like the Game Boy.
There's no Game Boy ones there.
Do you feel good that you own more Final Fantasy games than I own any games?
Than you own games in total? Yeah.
He also has three copies of Final Fantasy XI, which I do not understand.
One for each console.
Yay!
And PC. But yes, at any rate, by the time this podcast goes up, I've actually, we're recording this on Monday, I'm finishing off my little project tonight. I've been doing up a post for the blog, which is basically a catalog of my gaming collection. So it'll be included with photographs, because I'm going to go around and take photos of everything and post a list. So if you haven't already by this point, then go check it out if you are at all interested in seeing what I actually have there.
Are you doing, like, accessories and everything, too?
Not accessories. I'll take pictures of all my various paraphernalia and stuff.
Don't you have the Resident Evil 4 chainsaw controller?
I have the Resident Evil chainsaw controller for both the GameCube and the PS2, yes.
Nice.
I know people were asking about it in the forum thread. I do have a bunch of pictures from the day of the shoot, from the Saturday shoot at UVic with
oh, really?
The recording and all
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, because I took a bunch of photos.
Yeah, and
I took some, too.
Yeah, okay. So I do have a bunch on my camera. I had a really busy weekend, but I will try and get them uploaded to the blog by tomorrow.
It's kind of confusing.
Yeah, you might want to just give them to me.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's just easier that way. Also, I was like, James, how do I shot photos? And he was like, just let me do it.
Someone on the forums within the last week was like, hey, could we see like pictures or something of Matt's gaming collection?
Yeah, and I actually said, stay tuned. Yeah. No, it was Taper 12 asked, can you direct us to a video where the gaming collection is? And I was just like, stay tuned. And she got really excited.
We had a previous video.
Yeah, both of the Uwe Boll videos showed
right,
up pretty
yeah.
well.
But this does really showcase it.
Yeah.
That's basically the video there.
A lot of comments on the, well, I just wanted to say a lot of comments. A lot of people saying that the flange filter really ruined it for people.
That's an interesting little bit of a side note as well, because when we recorded it, using a pop filter, which had heavy flange and reverb and all this kind of stuff. And at the time, I listened to it and went, oh, yeah, that sounds way better, because, frankly, I'm not an incredibly good singer, and what I sing is pitchy.
Jer, don't say that.
I've never been trained at singing, so... Anyone who says I'm not a good singer, I'm sorry if I don't live up to your singing requirements. But anyway, I was like, yeah, it sort of muffles the fact, or not muffles, but you know, blends my notes together a bit better, and it makes me sound a little bit more on or in key.
It was trying to sound more like a pop song too.
Yeah. So at the time, listening to it in the booth, it sounded great, but then. A few days later, listening to it, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm really glad they're getting rid of all these effects because they kind of sound...
Yeah,
because
Paul was like, we should really take the effects right out. So I'm editing the video, and I'm like, oh, right, got to take the effects out. So I changed the flange from one flange to a different flange, and it was late, and I have shitty speakers built into my computer. And I was like, yeah, that sounds way less flangey. And then everyone on the forums is like, oh, the flange! And I'm just really trying to figure out how many different ways I can work the word flange into this conversation.
Yeah.
But it's a little sad to see some people say that it ruined it for them. Like, that's unfortunate. But as it is, by the time you're listening to this, I should have re-uploaded a version without so much flange.
And so you can all watch it again.
Flange.
Oh, this might be a good time to talk about the new ads too.
Yes.
Let's just finish up the video first.
Yeah.
But
it's the thing with the like I think the to me it sounded a little bit too comparison I had to you know that Cher song. Which
yeah.
I presume everybody
yes,
knows what
yes.
song I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Which I responded to by the one they try and make you emulate in Karaoke Revolution.
Right.
Yes.
So it's sort of more of a casual thing.
Yeah, it should be like a guy and his guitar. You're right.
Yeah.
Which
anyway.
And other people have also mentioned. You know, what about bass? What about drums? Yeah, GarageBand had some drum loops that had to be recorded against a click track. We could have probably added in. But
it's a pure. I think it is a guy. It's supposed to be. You know, he doesn't have a band with him. It's just
yeah.
a guy talking. And mm-hmm. I think you know we were actually talking about that when we were filming this thing, and you know Tally was sort of asking about about sort of her motivations and stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's something I really like about this video is that this whole idea that. Tally didn't necessarily, isn't necessarily hugely impressed by all this, you know, he's got all his collection out and all his best stuff. Isn't necessarily hugely impressed, but is like, wow, you have all the Final Fantasies? That's pretty incredible. I'm going to have sex with you now. But it's this idea that, you know, like...
It's the effort.
Yeah, I think she can really appreciate the, you know, that he cares.
Someone actually pointed that out on the forums, and I thought that was really quite pretty much what was
Jer and Tally are fine, by the way.
Yes, just so everyone's aware. She's away right now. But
That's actually not at all what we were going for. We're just trying to save face.
although, if she ever does leave, you know how to get her back.
She's just impressed by the quantity of his video games. Nothing more. Get more video games... And the ladies, they will love you.
Well, you know what they say with a guy about a guy with a lot of video games.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, we do, actually.
I think they write songs about him.
There were a couple other comments of other possibilities of directions we could have gone entirely of other directions entirely that people were hoping that we might go with the season four opener. And let me just say, or sorry, with the season five opener, if season four had end credits, they would probably end with the words 64K will return, a la James Bond, but.
Yeah,
but we wanted to switch it up, so yeah, you know,
64K is definitely not forgotten.
No,
so
no.
We've got some nice stuff coming up.
Keeping in mind that we began season 2 with 64K and we began season 4 with 64K.
It's like Star Trek movies. Every second season we begin.
We're not. We don't want to make it consistent necessarily, but we want to switch it up every once in a while too. I wanted to also mention, if you haven't seen it yet, I did post the tab on the forums. All
right.
So if you're interested in learning to play the song, it's all there. Yes, I realize someone posted the lyrics before I did. I posted corrected lyrics.
if you wanted to, say, I don't know, record a video of you playing the song and then email it to us, would be a cool thing to do.
If you're a better singer and or guitar player than I am, and...
I got an email from one.
Really?
It was like, I would love to help you.
Really? Well,
from someone in town?
No, from someone from Ontario.
Oh,
it was like, this is something I do. I can help you with that. Yeah. So I was like, oh,
fantastic.
Because we sure don't.
Too bad
we do not do this.
Too bad you're in Ontario.
Yeah.
Well, but also, like, if you want to do it, if your band wants to cover it, that would be awesome.
That would be sweet.
We just want to hear about it. So go nuts.
Yeah. If Ontario guy can write fat beats.
Ooh, fat beats. I like.
We're keen on fat beats.
It's not really his style, but I'll pass it on.
I find musicians are generally musical.
Like, well, no. Like he said, this is my style. This, like he mentioned it. Anyway. So another thing new with this season is the new ad system that Rever has in place, which is the pop-up ads, or sorry, the overlay ads. Which now I've seen overlay ads on other sites, and the ones that Rever has going, which they don't have system wide, we're sort of in. Like under the like
testing phase.
Yeah, we're in like a testing phase. They are the least annoying, least obtrusive overlay ads I've ever seen. They're still obtrusive and kind of annoying, but
especially since we've got the widescreen thing. So
yeah, which helps.
It's actually only covering like a tiny bit of the video.
Now I was gonna ask.
I mean,
about
it is
that.
Distracting.
Is it possible we could just move our widescreen up a little bit, like move our letterbox up a little bit?
Well,
so the ad covers
everyone.
Well, we could.
It'd be a little annoying to
Well,
do.
It's one, we could do that, but then also it's like, you know, they may change their ad format sometime in the future. Like, I don't think we should start messing with our videos to fit the ad format that they're.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Rever has gone through multiple different ad formats.
But,
so.
Yeah. Just, like, in case you didn't notice the X button, at any time, you can hit the X and they go away and
they're
they don't come back.
Yeah.
So, like, which you can't do with any other overlay ad I've ever seen, which is one of the reasons we were like, let's give this a shot.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I would just
I've
like
seen
to
a
say,
couple where the X button was actually just a link through to their site anyway.
Ouch.
Evil.
Now,
I would just like to say, I posted my thoughts with regards to the ad.
You sure
and so
did.
Forth.
You
I was
going to
no,
say.
No, hold up. And I think it came off as a bit of a rant, which wasn't what my intent was.
Matt's views do not reflect
the
views of Loading Ready Run or its
to
subsidiaries.
Come off as being angry at people or a real rant or anything
I
like
haven't
that.
Even read your rant, and I know you're being an asshole in it.
So continue, Matt.
So if you took it that way, that really wasn't my intent. My intent was just to draw attention to the fact that, you know, as stated many times before, we do this for free. We don't make money on this. And, you know, I honestly think it's fair for us to try and at least try and find new ways to generate some kind of
payment
for the site.
It's also fair for people to whine about having ads where there wasn't ads.
I totally don't mind somebody saying, I don't like this ad for this reason. It's the people who came in and were like, Jesus fucking Christ, these ads suck dick. I hope they go away right now. That's not helpful. Saying, you know,
that's
I don't
true.
Like these ads for this reason. I, you know, I think they're intrusive. They distract me from the video. That's cool. But, you know, posting a post all in caps going, OMG, these ads suck.
When we changed to Rever Embeds, people had a shit fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, I don't like it. It's different. I fear change.
It's not productive and... And, you know, as my point was, if you're not changed for this...
No, but that's the subtext.
Now it's...
What you
personally, got. Personally, I think the river videos work way better than
we work on the internets.
I know.
That is a place where people go to whine and nibble, and I have no doubt
it's
you've done
true.
Exactly the same thing as these
people.
Matt?
Where
people
why?
Are the internet?
To yeah. complain about movies.
Exactly.
But anyhow, I do apologize. I didn't mean to come off like an asshole, and I realize I kind of did, but I still think my point is valid.
So, as of so far, the ads don't seem to be putting people off too much, and they're working. So,
yeah, we
they're
we have,
probably going to stick around for a while.
Yeah, I mean this. I mean the nice thing about the whole river thing, and you know, we've got a lot of flexibility there. So
I'll just have to get better at what tags I put in the videos.
Yeah, so
River just recently implemented a new tagging system. So
yeah, which is, I mean, some of the that's the other thing is the keywords that pop up for these
yes.
ones are a hell of a lot more relevant than the ones that used to pop up at the end.
Yeah, which I'm a lot happier about. So I can actually like sort of tailor things a bit better. Of course, the first one that Morgan saw, it picked up on loading ready run, and it was loading DLL run error. And it's the first one Morgan had ever seen, and he thought that River was crapping itself. And it's like, what the hell? What's going on?
And it said, click here to fix the error. And I was like, this looks suspiciously like an ad, but it also looks suspiciously like a real error that really needs to be fixed. And I was like hovering over it with my mouse, squinting at it.
And you said the bit where it said advertisement?
And then, yeah, I closed it and was like, okay, carry on.
So there you go. Shall we move on to what we're playing now?
I think we should.
Okay.
I think the rest of you should.
Yes, Matt, you got into WoW again. We don't want to talk about
no,
it.
No, that wasn't.
Oh,
WoW.
That's sad.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Yeah.
That was a sad end of last
you.
Week.
Fine.
I still blame Ash.
Oh,
you
okay,
you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Himself.
You're not
yeah,
even
I'm
sleeping
sorry.
With her. Her influence on you should not be great enough to get you to play WoW.
No. It's like dangling a taste bag in front of a recovering coke addict.
Yeah.
It's
no.
I was
no,
addicted.
It's more like
did you,
I more had, like.
Sorry, I just wanted.
It's more like
and
dangling.
She was like, come on, one more hit.
It's more like
hurt.
Dangling a bag of feces in front of an ex-feces addict.
Also,
can I just ask you something? Did. Because I know I didn't. Matt, did you ever use the term taste bag before we saw Gone Baby
No,
Gone
but it was a,
that's
yeah,
what I thought.
It was
okay,
a good
cool.
use.
It
like,
is. It is.
It is a
no,
good
it's
word.
Good. It's good.
It makes
yeah.
sense.
Also,
but,
surprisingly
know,
good movie.
Not being a coke addict, I've never had opportunity to make use
are you,
of one.
Are you actually, also serious about comparing WoW with cocaine?
I actually,
I'm sorry. Not quite the same thing.
I actually, when you concerned. When you first said taste bag, I thought that was actually like a magic item.
I just want to talk about it.
Bag of tasting.
I'd like to mention Gone Baby Gone for a second. When I first heard that it was a movie directed by Ben Affleck starring Casey Affleck, I just assumed it would be a giant circle jerk. But I got to see it for free, so I went to see it. And wow, really good movie.
Yeah, really good.
That's,
Morgan
and
it's
I got
encouraging.
Into a very heated debate at the end
it's,
of that.
Yeah,
it really makes you have to debate, actually. You have to debate yourself, if nothing else.
It really
forces you to pick a side at the end of the movie.
And Casey Affleck, refreshing to see him do something other than the Ocean's movies, which is all I've ever seen him in before.
Fair enough.
So anyway, what we're playing now, does anyone have anything new to bring to the table? Because I've just still been playing the Orange Box, and it's still awesome.
Yeah,
I think what's really important is what I'm not playing now, and that's BioShock.
Oh, because?
Because I beat it.
Awesome!
Yeah.
And man, that had that twist at the end, that was, I was just like, holy shit. Oh, what? But that... Oh my god!
I know. Isn't it awesome? I've
it
talked
is,
about that.
It's a little bit the twist is a little bit diminished by the fact that the game actually continued. Like I almost wanted the game to end right there.
Mm.
But anyway, BioShock really really neat and a very really neat you know really really amazing story. And I got to say, if you're playing through BioShock for the first time, save the little sisters. I don't know why you would want to not save the little sisters.
It's just better for you if you save. Like it's
you end up with way more Adam than you would have if you had killed them.
Yeah.
And so there's no downside.
And then, you know, they're happy with you later and alive.
Yeah, apparently Ken Levine was not quite so for the bipolar ending of BioShock, which either
the designer?
Yeah.
Well, as Zero Punctuation put it, it's the moral choice is actually sort of something between Mother Teresa and baby eating.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, huh, let me think here.
So and also just because in the actual game, they reinforce the what they consider to be the correct choice by a system of rewards that makes it so that that choice is actually definitively substantially better for you as the player, not just in a sort of moral way, but it actually will make the game easier.
Yeah,
that it makes the moral not so much of a moral choice.
Yeah, but, just good gameplay.
So it's not really a moral choice between what is right and what is easy.
No, it's a moral choice between either I want to do what's right and easy, or I want to be a big total dick because that's what I can do.
Because that could be an interesting way of doing a game. Making instead of like having easy mode, normal mode, hard mode, just have like easy but very immoral mode.
That would be interesting.
Normal and
average.
Average, and then hard but extremely good, like the old Pendragon role playing system.
Yeah, I mean, I could almost see that as sort of. I mean, some games you can sort of do that for yourself.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. Fable, actually, for instance, is kind of in that sort of line of
Fable. It's when I heard, I think it was Adam talking about. He's like, so I go to this woman's house, and she's like, "Help me find my son, because like he's lost." And then I go and find him and bring him home, and then kill him, and then kill his mom, and then take their stuff, and then sleep in their bed. It was like. Huh.
Is that, did he get the good
and,
ending?
But but everyone still expects you to go out and kill the big bad guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Actually, you should watch Zero Punctuation's Fable review because it's also very good.
I haven't seen that, but I did enjoy his Tabula Rasa one. Yes. And of course, the Orange Box and Halo 3. Basically, anything he does. I only discovered him with the BioShock review, but he's really funny.
Is that the guy who does the frenetic fast?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
BioShock.
TheEscapist.com.
Yeah, BioShock definitely should check out. Now I am going to be playing Portal, and I plan to enjoy it greatly.
Yes,
you will. Yes.
Something I found out actually that I have actually spent a lot of time playing is on Newgrounds. There is a Flash version of Portal that is surprisingly very, very good.
Wow!
It's like a 2D version of Portal.
So like side scrolling?
Yeah, side scrolling.
Oh, cool!
But it's like really good. Like it even has like you go to a portal and you can see yourself in the other portal. Like it's like really, really well done.
Huh?
And it's all 2D, which makes it a lot easier and a lot of like it makes it easier to figure out a lot.
Can
of
you
things.
Like the momentum jumping?
Oh yeah, it does everything.
Wow!
And it does. It was like the guy started it when the previews for Portal came out, right. So it sort of looks the same as Portal, but it doesn't actually have any of the story because he didn't know what the story was.
Right.
But it's got the same sort of turrets and things, so it's really fun. So you can go to Newgrounds and check it out. It's like Portal Flash.
Nice.
I also started the game this week,
which is
Beautiful Katamari.
Oh, and how is it?
It's Katamari Damacy, but
on the 360.
On the 360, it doesn't really look any better other than being in high resolution, and it's roughly as hilarious and wacky as the previous one.
Something Awful one sentence review was best $10 Xbox Live Marketplace game package and sold for $45.
I would give it more credit than that.
Fair enough. Well, he also gave it 8 out of 10, but
yeah, I would give it more credit.
He's more about the comedy than the actual game reviewing the guy on Something Awful.
It's interesting because when Katamari was released, Namco was sort of like, "Yeah, it's this game we're doing, and it's kind of weird, and it's Japanese. You guys probably won't get it." And then it became a huge hit. So now they're, I think, just trying to milk it for all it's worth.
Definitely. That's good. I would endorse the purchase of the 360. I certainly don't regret it, and it's the cheapest new release Xbox 360 game to date.
Yeah, it's $45 Canadian. Right?
Yeah,
presumably $45 American. Or cheaper American.
Cheaper American. Probably.
You know, we complain bitterly all the time, but we get people on cruise ships coming in from like Australia being like, "Your games are so cheap here."
Yeah, exactly.
Crikey, your games so cheap. But apparently they just get boned in Australia.
Everybody gets shafted more. It's America, and then it's
and then the rest of the world. Yeah,
game proximal distal relationship to the America that we.
Yes.
Dictionary.com, word of the day, proximodistal. That's a good one, actually.
The game prices of games releasing new, I think, is going to adjust slightly to approximate the American release
that's
values
good.
In Canada. It's just the old ones that won't, likely because of the cost they were purchased at.
Cool.
But that, I think, is why Katamari came out at 45 here. That is also why the PS3 is now $499.99 Canadian, which is also its American retail price.
Which is nice. And that's for the 80GB
MotorStorm
pack.
I'll be interested because Castlevania Dracula X Chronicles comes out this week for $25 American in the States.
Wow.
So
that's a good deal.
I think it was $25 American. So
crazy.
If it's $25 Canadian, that will be rad.
So
yeah.
Cool. Anything else? Anyone else playing new stuff?
Yes.
You and then just so I know anybody else after that or
no. I can go in about 2 seconds, which is just smashing face with Chaos Knight in Dota.
That's not new.
New. I think it's just assumed you're always playing Dota.
Yeah.
The smashing face is new.
What do you got, Jer?
First of all, I finished Jeanne d'Arc.
Oh,
it's
finally.
Done. Yes. And so that was many, many bus rides, but it's finished, and I was really pleased with that game overall. I think it fell down a little bit near the end, but it was a pretty decent tactics-like game, which, yeah. So after that, I've since been playing on the bus Mega Man Powered Up, which is the remake of Mega Man 1 for the PSP, with 3D graphics, two new bosses, and other stuff like that.
New bosses?
Yes, they added Oil Man and Time Man. It's got the original game package in it though, so you can't really hold it against them anyway. It's interesting because like the original Mega Man on normal mode, it is fucking hard.
Well, that's good.
Like they added an easy mode to it so that normal human beings can get through it, but playing Gutsman's mode on or Gutsman's level on medium mode still kicked my ass over and over again from the freaking falling away platforms. I don't know if you guys have how much Mega Man 1 it's ridiculous. And the bane of my existence, we used to call it the rock monster in Mega Man 1 and Mega Man 3, but I think they call it the yellow demon or something now.
Yes, that's correct.
The big thing at the end of the first Wily level with the big eye that's orange and flies across the screen in little blobs, reforms itself and shoots at you and then flies across the screen in little blobs again. Much harder this time because there's much less space. Anyway, so that's a lot of fun. I've also, Tally is away this week in Hawaii.
Nice.
And when the cat is away, the mouse will play Resident Evil 4. Because Tally absolutely despises Resident Evil. And while she is not hanging around my house, I can play it.
Yay. It's very good.
Yes. Well, I played RE4. I've not ever actually beaten it, but I've just started it on Wii again, so that's a lot of fun.
Nice. Cool. So,
you know what else allows you to play Resident Evil 4?
Dumping Tally?
No. growing some balls.
Oh, thanks, Morgan.
That would also allow you to play that game. Pretty much as you wanted to.
And Callie, if you're listening to this, I am not going to dump you to play Resident Evil 4.
No, I wasn't suggesting dumping.
No, he's just going to cheat on you with Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
All right.
If you're in another area code, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Okay, questions.
All right, on to Ask Lure. All right, Yamura asks, how much extra work goes into the DVDs?
A lot.
An absolutely obscene amount.
Something we should have done this week, actually. Mm-hmm. We record a commentary track for every video, and occasionally some of the bonus videos, and that can take a while because it's just getting everyone together to do them at a time that's not the meeting, because it takes up too much of the meeting time and we get tired and cranky. And occasionally also there's, it's like, well, for this video, it'd be really good to have Kathleen in the commentary. For this one, it'd be good to have Andy in it. So we have to put that one aside, and it can take a while to get all the commentaries recorded. Remind me afterwards, we should really look at a time this week to start getting some commentaries recorded. We've recorded some of them, but we need way more. Beyond that, there's, of course, the epic blooper reels, which I've been trying to keep on top of them this year with editing them as I go.
That probably takes the longest.
Yeah, the blooper reels is probably what takes the longest.
Just because it means going through all the footage.
Yeah, the process for putting the DVDs together is... I lay all the videos out into Project and Final Cut and get up as close to 2 hours as I can. Then I put in chapter markers, name all the chapters, everything, export it as one giant long video, export the audio separately, recompress it as a different setting for DVDs, lay out the menus, which luckily I have a template for now because we've done it so much, in DVD Studio, although we're changing the way that the... episode selection is this year. We're just doing it chronologically rather than by category. We talked about that last year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We just didn't change it in time. And so that can be kind of time consuming, making sure all the commentary tracks fit properly. Then, definitely the getting all the blooper reels edited is the most time consuming part. Ideally, I think I'm doing pretty good this year of keeping on top of it.
I mean, I know I've seen a lot of the blooper reels.
Yeah, so
very hilarious, by the way.
There's some really funny ones. Hopefully, I don't think we'll have to go to 4 discs this year because we've done more reasonably lengthed videos on average
this season.
So, which just fucking flew by the way.
Yes.
What happened to season 4? Where was that? We're in season
what
5.
What happened to the last just year?
Last year just whoosh.
Yeah, it's crazy. It still feels like fairly recently we did Loading Ready Live, but it was absolutely not.
Well, and shortly after that, Talk Like a Pirate. I still remember doing Talk Like a Pirate, and that felt like
Yeah, that's true. I can still remember Graham waking me from my slumber and being like, "Hey, do you want to be in this video that's going to become giant?"
Yeah.
Put so, tie on. A lot of extra work. So there you go. Alan has a question. Starbowl? I believe our answer is no.
Well, I think the answer is Starbowl.
Yeah.
The answer, as far as I'm concerned, is maybe one day. I think I still have the last surviving copy.
I think I have a copy somewhere without audio.
Okay. I think I have the last copy with audio.
Yeah.
Redub the audio. With
yeah.
Loading Ready Run.
That would be better. I like that. That'd be better. That'd be
it
better.
Still would make no sense. I like.
Well, maybe we could redub it in a way that it would make sense.
At least
sense.
It wouldn't like. At
Do
least it would make sense.
What we're talking about right now.
It'd be legible. No,
they don't.
No
they don't. Which is fine.
Yeah. For the record, just because this should drive home to the forums why or the whole Star Bowl thing. Although I know what they're talking about. As a member of the crew, I have never seen Starbowl.
Really?
I have never seen it.
Uh-huh.
I heard about it.
Were you
but I had it was yeah. It premiered at the Oak Bay Film Festival the year before I moved. Started.
You're missing out on the most awesome thing you've ever done.
Yes. I'm just as happy. Starbowl will be the thing of legend.
Yeah.
In the intervening time, I still haven't
maybe,
seen it.
Maybe
someday, yes.
That's we specifically don't show it to Matt because it's far too awesome.
It would make him it would by extension, make him awesome.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we can't have that.
Okay. Are there any LRR folk in Second Life, or is it not enough of a game?
It has nothing to do with the fact that it's not a game.
Yeah.
It just has to do with the fact that it's kind of lame.
Yeah. I was going to say,
I see what you did there.
Not a game. It's more that we're all too involved in real life.
And
life takes up too much of our time.
I'm Liek, so cool, IRL. I need not Tay Second Life.
I don't even have time for lesser. I mean, Matt's not one to talk as he plays WoW, but most of us don't have time.
10
for things
million
like,
people play WoW.
I'm not a big fan of Momorphagus.
10 million people are also retards.
Especially like with Second Life, it isn't even an RPG. It's just you just go there and.
I have to say that I have, you know, the whole idea, concept, and the whole thing of Second Life does intrigue me. Not enough that I've actually downloaded and installed it or anything, but I have looked at and I've read a couple articles on it and stuff, and I do find the idea very interesting.
Like Graham, your comment that it's not even a game. My argument, if it even was a game, or even if it was a game, I don't think that I would really get into.
No,
it.
I wouldn't either.
Well, but the whole idea is that it's not supposed.
I'm with
to
Morgan.
Be a game.
Right.
The only thing that could, if it was, I wouldn't. Me and Morgan, the only thing that would ever make us play an MMO is if they actually made the Fallout MMO.
Yep. The most awesome thing to come from Second Life is First Life.
That's a hilarious website. It's just one web page, but it's really funny.
Yeah, really funny.
All right. Cake asks, now this is not the Master Chief he's talking about, but a Spartan from Halo versus a Spartan from 300, who would win?
Oh, damn. I would
Spartan from 300.
I have to say that if it was the Master Chief, then.
But then you got to say like Master Chief versus Leonidas.
Yes.
Right. That's like a thing. But just like a normal guy.
Yeah. No, I would say Spartan from 300.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like logistically, fucking awesome.
But the Spartans
have guns.
Yes. Any Spartan could have killed a. Soldier, like a Spartan from 300 before he even
okay.
Closed
I'm certain that you
distance.
Could shoot. the Spartan from 300, and they just wouldn't give a fuck.
I seem to recall that they did deal with arrows pretty handily. Like, it's not like they can't deal with ranged projectiles.
No, 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 but we're talking about things moving way faster than arrows, and which...
Plasma.
Ostensibly,
lasers.
I just don't think they share depleted uranium-tipped rounds and so forth.
I would put one of those shields in the way of a laser, and I think it would stop
the Spartan laser.
I definitely put my money on Spartan. Especially if they got into the area where the numbers meant nothing. Or if the other Spartan, the Halo Spartan, happened to be standing near a dry well, then he's dead. He's gone.
Or a wall of corpses. We can find a wall of corpses.
Frankly, also, I don't know if the color palette surrounding the Spartan from 300 would accommodate things like lasers. I think those would be just not true.
Plus, Matt thinks it would be the Spartan from Halo.
You're right.
Now, I think we can all agree that he's wrong.
Now, from Monty Ohm, the guy who did that Haloid video that came out a while
ago. Which was amazing.
That was awesome. He recently did one called Dead or Fantasy, I think, which was the Dead or Alive Girls versus the Final Fantasy X-2 Girls.
Nice.
But I want him to make that video. Leonidas versus the Master Chief.
Not going to happen. Missing some very critical elements.
Boobs.
Yeah. I want to see the second half of that video.
He could make both chicks, though.
That's true, he could.
Yeah, I think that...
I believe in Queen
Leonidas. okay. All right, so the Prophet says... throws a wrench into the eternal question here with pirate, ninja, or Viking.
Vikings don't enter into the equation. It's pirate, ninja, or robot.
I was going to say that.
Or lumberjack.
It's still ninja, really.
It's still ninja unless you've got a ninja pirate, like the Dread Pirate Roberts, as we discussed in the previous podcast.
So. Yeah, I mean, Vikings
who
are
is,
cool.
Who is blonde and could therefore also be a Viking?
That's true.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So, sorry if this has already been asked, what are your top three single-player game experiences of all time? Let's narrow that to one.
Sure.
I think we have already answered this, but a very, very, very long time ago.
Not really, because favorite game...
I recall answering experience.
Yeah.
Was that when we were being interviewed for GMAG?
It very well might have been.
Top one.
Okay,
top
one. All right. Morgan.
I'm thinking about it. I don't know.
Single-player game experiences. Probably Final Fantasy VII, because it was the first of its type, and it was epic and huge, and it was just awesome, and I was like, holy shit, this game is so good, and I couldn't stop playing it. The whole thing in general was just really, really awesome. So, yeah. I can't pinpoint a specific thing, but it was really good.
Morgan.
I'm going to go with, Chrono Trigger now.
Chrono Trigger.
Okay, I like Final Fantasy VI better than Chrono Trigger. Chrono Trigger was the first game that I played like that, and it just blew me away.
And frankly, that was also going to be my answer. Because, I mean, Chrono Trigger I spent so long with and enjoyed it so much. I got every single ending in that game.
In terms of an achievement I'm proud of, completely beating in absolutely every possible way Tony Hawk 2.
Yeah.
That was
I've played a lot of Tony Hawk.
I recall, Morgan, there was one night when we were still living on Redfern
where you
started playing Tony Hawk at like 3 in the afternoon. I went to bed and woke up the next morning just as you had completed everything there was to do in Tony Hawk 2 with the final character.
In one sitting,
Morgan beat all of Tony Hawk 2.
With
the exception of the gaps.
With every character.
Without the gaps. I don't think you did the gaps.
Well, the gaps are fucking impossible.
I spent a long weekend and did all the gaps. Like, I beat it from fresh to absolute perfect completion with everybody, including the bonus levels, in like one long weekend. Mm.
Wow. Paul?
Well, just because I just finished it, I'm a pretty big fan of Bioshock.
Bioshock was so good.
That was pretty neat.
That was definitely a big moment.
And it's like, you know, RPGs are good. You know, like Final Fantasy VII obviously is good. You know, but they're really long, so it's sort of there. Whereas Bioshock was, you know, it's pretty long, but it's fairly compact. So
there was the part that Paul's talking about where he was like, "Whoa, really?" In Bioshock, that I seriously was just like, this is the most amazing first-person shooter I've ever played. At that point, I was just like,
definitely
that
best
is amazing.
First-person shooter.
Can I actually say, give a brief mention of a couple of others?
Yeah.
Because Eternal Darkness was really amazing.
Yeah.
Eternal Darkness was neat.
Pretty much all the way
which
through.
Which I noticed, actually, when I was editing this week's video, you have two copies of it.
Yes, one opened and one factory sealed.
It's really, really good. And also, Parasite Eve. The first Parasite Eve game I really, really got into and very much enjoyed. Just the battle system in it was really, really cool. Just adaptation of Final Fantasy VII, but with one character more action-y. It was kind of cool.
James?
It's a split between Chrono and the original Baldur's Gate.
Oh, nice.
Because I just love that game. It was amazing.
I'm also going to add Fallout and Fallout 2, particularly Fallout 2.
Yeah.
Matt?
My answer is Metal Gear Solid 3.
Good game.
Solid 2, yep, that was very good.
Particularly the last 2 hours of that game.
The last chunk of that game.
Pretty much the single most intense sequence of events I have ever played in a video game.
There have been
two games that have gotten me, two games ever that have gotten me really, really, really emotionally charged. Metal Gear Solid 3 is one of them, and Final Fantasy IX is the other one. And just the ends of both of those games really, really, really work for me.
Mm-hmm. Now he's throwing all that away to play WoW.
It's for Metal Gear for me, like the, I know, you know, the very ending part of Metal Gear, I didn't get quite as emotionally attached to that. But just the part leading up to that, like the whole thing of you fighting the Metal Gear, was just
the Shagohod?
The Shagohod was just, that was ridiculously awesome.
So crazy.
Anyway, let's go.
We're going to come back to the second part of Sable's last week because it's going to... Probably.
You say next week?
Next week.
We're going to go back in time.
Probably,
because
it'll probably spawn a very interesting discussion. We'll just finish up with a layup here. Probably been asked before, which it has, but which, other than Graham, do any of the cast members have siblings? Morgan.
Little brother Josh, 10 years younger.
Paul.
I've got an older brother.
Jer.
Little brother, she is 4 years younger.
Matt.
Little sister.
I was wondering there for a second. I'm like, really? You have a little brother. She's 4. Okay.
Sure. All right. Interesting.
Okay.
Matt?
No.
James.
Which explains everything, by the way. Younger sister, 18 months. Katie.
She's 18 months?
Yeah. 18 months younger.
I know. It just sounded like she was 18 months old.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'd love to have a baby sister now because I might like her.
Nice.
Oh,
okay.
Burn.
Yeah.
So. Come back to that next week. So, we do have a challenge for you. Good times. We told you to lay aside a little money. You probably didn't listen, but hey, whatever. So, what we're looking for, Halloween's coming up. So, we're looking for you to go and find a pumpkin and make yourself the best loading, ready, run themed pumpkin that you can. Ideally, not the logo, because we did that a couple years ago.
And
so,
you guaranteed will not win if you go with the logo. So feel free to do it. You're just sacrificing any chance of winning.
I'm going
to
go ahead and say you probably actually want to buy a pumpkin as opposed to just looking around and trying to find one.
Yeah. So, so do that. Loading Ready Run themed can be anything. It can be a character, a phrase, a picture, something, anything you want. It is up to you.
Man, yeah, if you could do a pumpkin carving of
like
a
one of those
character.
Yeah, like one of those like really
the
nice
PC
ones.
The PC wielding the battle axe of the boar with a Viking hat on, screaming for the horde. If you're a real,
real
pumpkin
artist.
Do
that, guys.
That'll be cool. Yeah. Incidentally, the winner will be announced on Halloween.
Oh yeah, it's true. Well, because
the podcast will go up on
Wednesday. Go up on Halloween. So there you go. So enjoy. We've held off. And we've decided that forum ranks are going to be earned
now.
In blood.
We expect great things from you.
Yeah.
In fact, if you sent us a vial of blood, we'd give you a forum rank. Yeah. We'd pretty much have to.
Pretty much. That'd be pretty creepy.
Yeah.
All right.
Your forum rank wouldn't necessarily be one you want.
Yeah.
BTW, send it to Graham's house.
Yeah. That's my house!
Anybody have anything else to add?
No.
All right. Bow down before the power of the flange.
Flange, 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 reverb, reverb, reverb.